Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for your work in them. May they live their whole lives trusting you, dependent upon you. May they never live on their own resources. In Jesus' name. And they all said?
Amen. Amen.
I think many of you are probably familiar with the story of Jim Elliot and his four friends who were seeking what anthropologists have called the most violent tribe ever recorded in research. 60% of all members died violent deaths. Males and females participated in the killing of others in their tribe and outside the tribe. Jim Elliot and his four friends were armed with firearms when they landed on a sandbar. They were attacked. They chose to die, to be speared to death, rather than to take the life of individuals who would go to hell. Jim Elliot's wife, the sister of one of those killed, would go and return to that tribe to share Christ. The tribe is now a vibrant Christian community. Elizabeth Elliot has saved much of Jim's writing. Here is one example. God makes his people a flame of fire. Am I ignitable? God, deliver me from the dread asbestos of other things. Saturate me with the oil of thy spirit that I may flame. Make me thy fuel, the flame of God. Is that your heart? Is that what you've been hearing the last couple months? As we have looked at what it means to walk with God moment by moment, is that becoming your heart? Even in how you live your life day to day, in the use of your time, in the use of your money, your resources, all that you have and all that you are, have you embraced that concept that you are only a steward of your life, a steward of what God has entrusted to you? This morning we come to communion. And so allow me to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Those who'd like to stand for the reading of God's word, I invite you to do so. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also, and after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you think it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Father, teach us, instruct us, conform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Question. Is it our job to run ahead of God and seek perfection? And when we fail, God is ashamed of us. Answer. Why? Hey, I've been gone all week. I need help this week. Is it our job to run ahead of God and seek perfection? Why? Because it's impossible. Okay. Is God ashamed of us? Why? He saved us. He loves us with the blood of Christ. Now, if we rest and live life as life comes, as we let God search us in the midst of life, in the midst of struggles, are we living surrendered? As we let God lead us, will he do his work in us? Why? He's always faithful. So we have a choice. We can live religiously, trying to be perfect, you know, not make any mistakes, play it safe. And when we fail, oh, I've let God down. God hates me. Or realize, I'm a sinner, worthy of death. God loves me anyway, has reached down, saved me, has pursued and sought a relationship with me. Which model do you prefer? A or B? Okay, how come we're living A? Yeah, so knock it off. Now, if only it was that easy, right? That's why we spent the last couple months. When we make mistakes, is God big enough to work through them? From our side of things, then things look pretty helter-skelter and messy. Pardon me? Yes or no? Okay. I want to make sure you're living the same reality I am. You know? Yeah. Yeah. So, when things look messy, is God still in control? Why? Pardon me? He's God. He's faithful. God causes all things to work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, there's something in that God has called all things. Did we miss something there? Why? For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to what? You know the verse. Be conformed to the image of his son. So even in the messiness of life, God is conforming us to his image. So, information to remember. Our walk is progressive. What it looks like is dependent upon how long we've been walking with Jesus and what God is teaching us at that moment. Whether you're spirit-filled or not is a black and white issue. Now, I work really hard at getting you not to paint the world in black and white issues, don't I? This is black, this is white, this is God's leading of the Spirit. Right? But Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If there is sin in our lives, we're carnal. How do we fix it? Ask forgiveness. Spiritual breathing. So as you are walking in obedience to the Spirit-filled life, as you're walking, seeking to love the Lord, I want you to close your eyes for a few moments and spend just a few moments with sort of silence, with me asking a question or two. Now, as you're sitting there quiet in God's presence, what are you learning? What are you responsible for now that you did not know before? How are these truths being worked out into your life? Is your life pointing more to Jesus? Is your life reflecting Jesus? Are you coming to that place of rest, letting Jesus live his life through you? Or are you still fighting those bonds of religion, those hoop jumping? Are you being religious in the flesh? What draws your gaze off of Jesus? Now, at this point, I want you to ponder the majesty of God. Ponder the thought that while you were yet a sinner, Jesus died for you. Ponder the sacrifice that he paid to love you. That if you were the only sinner in the world, Jesus would have come for you and shed his blood. Are you worth the blood of God? Are you willing to let God love you? As Jesus hung on that cross to pay the penalty for us, for you, because he loves you, because he is loving and majestic, gracious, kind, and holy, righteous. And he wants us to enter into his life. Are you ready for communion? Those of you who are new or visiting with us, we celebrate open communion. What that means is if you receive Jesus as your Savior, you are, in essence, you walk with Jesus. You walk with God. We invite you to partake of communion with us. It's not your worthiness that qualifies you for communion. It is the blood of God shed for you. So you've ask forgiveness for anything that separated you from God. That you spiritually breathe. Confess anything that's in your life that's separating you. Have you appropriated, said, okay, Father, fill me with your Spirit. Live your life out in me. If that's your heart, you're ready for communion. We usually will pass the elements and then we partake together. How you participate is between you and the Lord. So as your heads are quietly preparing your hearts, will the elders come forward? Will you bless the bread?
Lord, as we partake of this element, the bread representing the body of Christ, Lord, that I would pray that everyone here has their heart and mind set right and open to truly a blessed event in our life as we partake of this element, Lord, that we would take it where it was intended to take it, the blessings that come with it, in your precious name. Amen.
Body of Christ. Oh, the body of Christ broken for you. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Done. We pray a blessing over the Jews.
Father, we thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus. His desire that we remember him in this way, and for the blood that he shed, for the new covenant that we have in Christ, and the hope eternal in life with Christ. Thank you, Lord, for such a worthy servant that he gave his life for all. In Jesus' name.
The blood of Christ shed for you. In the same way, he took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's good news. Amen.
Let's all stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Palm Sunday is when Jesus entered Jerusalem. The much hoopla and the waving of palms and the laying the palms out in front of Jesus as he entered Jerusalem, the victorious king. As we would know, by the end of the week, he'd be hanging on a cross. But in the middle of that week, he stopped and gathered his beloved friends around him. And he converted what was a Passover meal into communion, which is what we've just shared. And as I had the privilege of standing here and looking out, I see people who allowed me into their lives in very sacred ways. And I thank you. And I see people who've invested in my family, who've helped shape who they become. And I thank you. To have the privilege of serving in one body for as long as I've had has allowed you to shape me and my family. I don't come from a real healthy family. That's been a good thing. God is good. God is powerful. And he changes us from the inside out. Amen.